Want to make sure we're all set. Yep, says Lord's Supper. So let me take your Bibles, and if you will, just for a few minutes, we got plenty of time here to serve the Lord's Supper, but I want to show you something in the book of Psalms. This is the Thanksgiving time of the year, and there's much to be thankful for. It's really, you know, with a couple funerals going on around Thanksgiving, you don't want it to be doom and gloom, because it's not. And doom and gloom. And Dorothy's in heaven today. She's in a much better place. And we'll celebrate that. And the fact that she's with the Lord. We know that Zim, that young man has spent 9 years of his life, a lot of it around the medical area and the challenges. That young man's not going to have to go to the doctors no more. He's not going to have brain surgeries no more. And like I share with you this morning, no matter what, when I run into him, I don't know, was he that way with you, Pastor Adam and Haley? And as far as being positive, upbeat, whenever you run into him. I mean, every time I talk to him, whether I was at Children's Hospital or here, he was always kind of give you that kind of upbeat kind of feeling. And I thought, man, what this young man's going through. And he's so so upbeat and so encouraging. And so, you know, he really, and that he saved and knows the Lord and that, but really had a good attitude through all. And I know some of the challenges he had was just overwhelming. And to think about what he's gone through. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And I felt that way today when I was meeting with Peter and Ada, even though that they don't like the loss of their son, all that they're going through this week and the sorrow that goes with that, they're yet still very thankful and appreciative. And you know, the Psalms, when you look at the Psalms, it's the Psalm book of Israel in that. But the basic theme, when you look at the book of Psalms, is really about living life, the real world that we live in. And the Psalms, you can really tell if you, I don't know where you spend your devotions at, but you ought to spend time in Proverbs and you ought to spend time in the book of Psalms. And it'll be such an encouragement for so many reasons in the book of Psalms that will be uplift and encouragement. It's really a book about praises and thanksgiving. And but there's different kinds of Psalms for the reason, for a specific reason. There's 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. So when you think about it, you know, there's what you call individual or communal lament psalms. Those are psalms that that express the need for God's deliverance. And those psalms are important to read in the book of Psalms because Israel, time and time again, found themselves in a situation where they needed God to deliver them from what they were going through. And so Psalms is a great place to go. If you're looking for deliverance, if you're looking for God to intervene, if you're looking for God to step time and time again, now I'm not going to get into all those Psalms. I'm going to focus on some Thanksgiving Psalms here and that. But there are Psalms written in here that really focuses on expressing the need for God to bring deliverance to the situation that you're going through. So you need to identify. It can help you identify to those Psalms. There's the Psalms of Thanksgiving, which I'll come back to that in a moment. There's also what you'd call Psalms of Enthronement. In other words, describing in the Psalms God's sovereign rule, that God is sovereign, that God is on the throne, that God knows what he's doing. My first word is, you know, I usually a lot of times when my phone rings and it's, I don't know, maybe it's late on a Saturday or it's in the middle of the night or whatever, sometimes you just know, you just get that gut-wrenching feel that at a certain time when the phone rings, this is going to be something hard to deal with. And I kind of felt that way. As soon as my phone started ringing, I looked, and it was Ada. Her name popped up on my phone. I thought, oh boy, something's going on with Zim. And so as I started to talk with her yesterday afternoon, then I made her aware. Matter of fact, it was so hard for her to talk about that she handed the phone to Mimi and her daughter, oldest daughter, and I begin to talk to Mimi about all that's going on. So the hard thing is, and Ada and I have talked about this, Zim's mother, is that God is still in control. God is still sovereign. God is still on the throne. And in the darkest of hours, in the darkest of times, and the hardest things in life, we need to understand and accept the fact that God is sovereign. He knows all, the beginning from the end, and God doeth all things well. So the way I would look at it, count it a privilege to be able to have Zim with us for 9 years. And a few of those years, I think he was born in 2012, so we had him a few years here at First Baptist, and he was a huge, huge blessing, that little guy. And so, Psalms describes God's sovereign will. There are also Psalms in here. It talks about songs of pilgrimage, or really defining moods for worship. And that, you know, that's why it's so important about what the praise team does and what Brother Ron does, what Rosalind does, or what Bob Wilcox does, all these people that are involved in music. They set the mood, they set the tone for worship in a service. And I don't know about you, but I think it's just a great thing to gather together on a Sunday morning, gather together here on a Sunday night, and have the songs and the message that are in the songs and the mood that's set for worship. So there are Psalms that talk about that. Then there's, in the Bible, talks about Psalms of royalty. Those Psalms would portray Christ as being the sovereign ruler. So, you know, I have a book in my library. It talks about Christ in every book of the Bible. And that's really what it is. Faith Bible Institute is all about learning. You're going to go back to Genesis. You're going to start at the beginning in January. And Jesus Christ is presented in every book of the Bible. So I don't know about you, but when I'm studying the Bible and when I'm looking at the Scripture, if I'm over in Genesis, if I'm over in Leviticus, if I'm over in the book of Job, I'm looking for the message of Christ. What's in here about Christ? What's in here that I can glean from? Because that's really what it is. The Bible is a revelation, a revealing of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. And He's revealed in all 66 books of the Bible, and some of the Psalms talk about that very much so, that portrays Christ as the sovereign ruler. And then there's Psalms of wisdom, instructing us as to God's will. Now, we got some young people in here tonight, and I'd encourage, if I was a young person at that age, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, I got saved at age 16 as a young person. And so I began to take my Bible. I was a sophomore in high school. I began to take my Bible to high school with me, and I just carried it along with my other books, history and algebra and everything else I was taking. And so every moment I got at age 16 in a large Class A public high school, I was reading my Bible every chance I got to be able to search. I was just hungry for the Word of God and to see what it had to say in there. And yeah, every once in a while in a study hall, you know, I'd be in a study hall with 300-400 students or whatever, and looking at something in my Bible, and somebody would say, "Hey, what are you reading?" And I say, "Well, I'm just reading something from the Bible here that came up in church on Sunday." So, you know, so when you look at it, it will help young people, the Bible. There's Psalms of wisdom, and we all need wisdom. You know where we need wisdom? We need wisdom to start at a young age. We need to spend time in the Proverbs, in your devotion, in Proverbs, and in Psalms, those two books. And it'll help you, especially at a young age, in wisdom. There's Psalms of wisdom. And then there's Psalms that talks about imprecatory, in other words, blasphemous or godless or the ungodly. The Bible does address that in the Scripture, invoking God's wrath and realizing God's judgment against His enemies. And those also come out here in the Psalm. But I want to show you real quickly here. Go over to Psalms chapter 8. And I preached a sermon here recently on some of the Psalms, in Psalm 135, 136, 137, 138, 139. So I'm not going to go there tonight, but I want to go to Psalm 8. And I'm just going to highlight a few things for you, and then we'll get into the Lord's Supper here tonight. Psalm 8 is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a psalm written by David. And take a look at what he has to say in Psalm 8 in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set the glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, and because of thy enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man? Think about this now. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him, remember what we're talking about, looking for Christ in the Psalms. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, and thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You can see Christ all through the Psalms. You can see Christ all the way in the book of Genesis and all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament. And so this is a great psalm here to take a look at. Let me give you another one. Go over to Psalm 116. You ought to spend some time in your devotions in the book of Psalms, also the book of Proverbs, but in the book of Psalms. Look in Psalm 116. I love this. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Boy, wouldn't you like to be able to take the trouble and sorrow out of life? And this week and going through that with a couple of these families that have lost a loved one, death is painful. And it talks about here in the psalm, the sorrows of death, the psalmist says, compass me, and the pains of hell get hold on me. Then he says in verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now you talk about thanksgiving and the Lord and the blessing of the Lord and the benefits of the Lord. Here it talks about the benefit. There are benefits of being a Christian, and we have many benefits of being a Christian. He said, I will take, in verse 13, of the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now there's a good verse, right? How appropriate this week, and again, losing dear friends in Christ and people that we dearly love. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So going to heaven is a good thing. Going to heaven, knowing you're saved, is a very important thing. And do we grieve? Yes. Do we have sorrow? Yes. The psalmist had that sorrow. But to know this, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh Lord, truly, he says in verse 16, I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice, here it is now, of thanksgiving. And will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, and in the courts of thy house, and in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. So when it talks about I'll offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So this week, next week, here towards the end of the month, we'll be spending a time in thanksgiving. It's a special time of the year for a lot of reasons. But thanksgiving and having a thanksgiving spirit and a spirit of gratitude should be all year long anyway. But it comes more into focus during this time of the year. Psalm 117, notice that, just two verses in the Bible. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever, praise ye the Lord. So how powerful, even in those two verses. And then the last one I'll give you here tonight, and we'll serve the Lord's Supper, is Psalm 150. The last psalm in the book of Psalms, and what a great psalm. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, and praise him with stringed instruments and organs, and praise him upon the loud cymbals, and praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And so what a great psalm. Let everything that breathes, I love that verse there, it talks about in Psalm 150, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. And so, again, we have much to be thankful for during this Thanksgiving season. Look for the things that you can praise the Lord for and put him first for and thank him for and count your blessings. And even in the hardest of times, you can still find things to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for. And I think it's a choice. You know, I've often said, you know, what makes people, make a, I visit with a lot of people over time. And a lot of times I visit with people who might be in a hospital or gone through a trauma or gone through a new medical report that the news was not good news. And a lot of people react in different ways to that. And I've seen some of the most interesting people that sometimes get the news. And I've often thought of little Zim, thinking about that, of all that young man's gone through. And yet he chooses to be positive or upbeat or be encouraging along the way. And it was always a person like that that kind of lifts you up and along the way. And so heaven is a sweeter place tonight for that young man being with the Lord. And so with everything that has breath, we are to praise the Lord. And so take your Bible tonight and let's go to the book of Matthew. And, you know, again, during the Thanksgiving time of the year, we're going to serve communion tonight. And that we're also then, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service. Christmas this year falls on a Saturday, I believe. And Christmas Eve service will be before that. So this year, in the Christmas Eve service, we're going to serve the Lord's Supper in the Christmas Eve service over the holiday. And it's always kind of special around, I think, around the holiday, especially then I think at Easter and Christmas and that time of the year as we reflect on that. But you know, when you look at it here in Matthew 26, as we shared with you before, kind of sets the event, sets the tone of what takes place. And, you know, and why we do this and remember it so we don't ever forget. We go through the Lord's Supper, so we're always kind of reminded the night that Jesus was betrayed, that kind of the events that unfolded and how they come about doing the Lord's Supper, he did it in remembrance. And that we'd always remember the price that he paid. Look at it, Matthew 26 and verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, and I don't know about you, but when I say, see that, and you go to the chapter before that, and take time when you get home, you can read Matthew 24. My Bible is all red letters in Matthew 24. And so he says here, Jesus said when he had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. And they said, no, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. And then when Jesus was in Bethany in verse 6 in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him this woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, poured it on his head, as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, which means wrath. They were indignant here over what was taking place, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. And then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. He said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him into you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, when you think about that time, I really believe that he was heavily influenced by Satan. And even possessed by Satan to be able to do this, because it says from that time then on he sought opportunity to betray him, Christ. It says, now on the first day of the Passover, the unleavened bread, remember we talked about unleavened bread this morning in the morning message, and they observed the Passover as a celebration of their exodus out of Egypt, out of bondage. So now it says, now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, that the disciples came to Jesus saying, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, saying to him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And now when the even was come, he sat down with the twelve apostles, and they did eat. And he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now you think about that. There we see the deity of Christ. Jesus was omniscient. Jesus had one of the natural attributes of Christ, was his natural attribute, was his omniscience. He knew everything. So there was nothing that could be hidden. And he said right here that one of you shall betray me. And then they became exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? And he answered, he said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." And then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said, "Thou hast said." So at that point he clearly knew what was taking place. And as they were eating, in verse 26, Jesus then took the bread and blessed it, break it, gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when he had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so we know here by that there's no salvation without the shedding of blood. There's no salvation without a blood atonement. And we see that here in Scripture. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So we kind of get an idea of the setting that takes place and that. But Paul here, giving to the church at Corinth, gives really what the order, really what the meaning of the Lord's Supper is. And, I had someone ask me the other day, where I don't know where I was at, what I was doing. They said, when you take the Lord's Supper, they call it what, Eucharist or whatever, are you actually taking the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, it's a symbolism. It's a memory of. It's not, it's given to remind us of the sacrifice. And so here's the order, the meaning behind the Lord's table. He said in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Notice that it says there, "as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." So the guidelines on the Lord's Supper doesn't say how often. I know churches that do it once a year. I know churches that do it. We do it about every 6 to 8 weeks. I know churches that do it once a month. There's some churches that do it every Sunday. But there's really the guideline, as often as you do it in remembrance of what was taking place here. Verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So the Lord's Supper is meant to be for the believer, for the Christian, for those that are saved. He met in the upper room with those 12 apostles and that. So it's meant for believers. It's not meant for the unbelieving world. I would pray tonight that everybody here is saved and knows the Lord. But by chance, if there's somebody here that's not saved, you would open your heart and trust Christ and be saved even tonight and trust Christ as your Savior. But we practice open communion. If you're here, by that meaning that if you're here and you're saved, you know the Lord, but you're not a member of the church, but you're a member of the body of Christ and born again. It is an ordinance of the church, practiced in the church, observed in the church. We encourage you to partake in the Lord's Supper. Those that were there at that time that took the Lord's Supper, they had been saved and baptized and follow the Lord, and then we're taking the Lord's Supper in obedience to the command of Christ. So again, I'd encourage you on baptism. We have more to be baptized. I had a family today that told me they're getting baptized on Sunday morning, December 5th. And Larry and Laura and Brendan, their son, and Ned just had an opportunity to see Brendan come to Christ. So they told me this weekend they're ready to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. So it's always exciting to be able to see people follow the Lord in baptism, and then it's also, I think, exciting to partake in the Lord's Supper. So we'll pause right here for a moment, allow you an opportunity to pray. Again, if you're here and you're not saved, it's a great opportunity for you to ask Christ into your heart to be saved and to trust Him as Lord and as Savior. But whatever's going on in your heart and life, you want to make sure when you take the Lord's Supper, I think it's a sacred and a holy thing, and that we, in reverence, ought to make sure that we got a good, clear conscience and a good heart towards receiving the Lord's Supper as we partake in it together. So give you a moment and silent prayer, if you will. Let's just go to the Lord. You can pray right where you're sitting there today, and then we'll continue on. Our Heavenly Father, God, tonight we love you. We thank you for the opportunity we can gather into your house and to seek your will and your direction. Pray your hand will be upon all that we do. And God, we thank you for our salvation tonight. And Father, we know if there's any unconfessed sin in our life, God, we would bring that before you. We know that our sin, past, present, future, is covered by the blood atonement of Christ, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness of our sin. And so we thank you for the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we think about Calvary and what you did and the sacrifice that you gave there, and by taking and receiving communion helps to remind us of what the sacrifice was. And God, even doing this, we have no idea, no comprehension, no way to relate to what you went through on the cross of Calvary that we could have eternal life. But God, we're eternally grateful for what you've done. And as we partake here in the Lord's Supper tonight, we thank you for that opportunity that we can be saved and ask forgiveness of our sin and then partake in the Lord's Supper. And God, we thank you that we can do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, and if you will, you can go over to the Gospel of Luke and find your place there. Let me get back to that place. We'll ask the deacons to kind of prepare themselves and get ready. And Luke chapter 22, if you find your place there. We'll be reading some scripture there in just a moment. So, gentlemen, if you'll come, we'll serve the Lord's Supper at this time. You have your Bible in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read some verses found in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14, which says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down," talking about Jesus in Luke 22:14, "and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And then he said in verse 19, And he took bread, and he gave thanks. He brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'm going to ask one of our deacons, Brother Ron Sonchek, if you would, to lead us in prayer. Please, sir. If you would.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for giving us this opportunity now to worship you, God, and the representation of Jesus' body, broken body, and all he went through. And we just thank you for giving us that salvation message, being able to accept him as our Lord and Savior, and be able to know that we have a place in heaven.
Amen. And they did break. If you can break it, if you can't, just eat it whole. Some of these might be hard to break, but you have your Bibles open, we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and the next verse in verse 20 says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." I'm going to ask one of our deacons, Brother Mark, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? They did all partake together. You can place the cup there in the pew, in the holder, and or pass it at the end, whatever works. It says when they left the Mount of Olives, they sang a song. And so Brother Bob's going to lead us in a song. And then the deacons here will prepare and get the offering plates, and we'll take a benevolence offering. Again, we want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving that benevolence offering. Let me just make this announcement, though, before you're dismissed then, is tomorrow, if anybody feels energetic, tomorrow there's four of us, I think, Brother Paul Tacy, myself, Pastor Adam, Frank, was you helping tomorrow? I don't know. Not sure yet. He possibly is going to help us tomorrow, but anyway, we're going to be working outside on the property tomorrow. It was lined up ahead of time. We got a chipper lined up. We'll start about 9 o'clock in the morning. And we got to cut some trees out of the retention pond. We're going to clean up some trees back around the shed and that brush back around the parking lot in the corner. They're out. Brother Paul Tacy and some of the men's been out there working hard, getting a lot of that cleaned up, doing a lot of stuff outdoors. So winter time's coming. So if you feel energetic tomorrow and you want to put on a pair of long johns and some gloves and that, you're welcome to come and work with us if you want. So we'll appreciate all the help we can get. So Brother Bob.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the opportunity for our church family to gather together and worship you today. God, thank you for all the music, and thank you for the Word of God that can speak to our hearts. And God, we just thank you for this Thanksgiving time of the year. We thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the opportunity that to be able to get together with family and friends over the holiday. And God, just thank you for being our God and being our Savior. What a privilege to be able to partake in the Lord's Supper tonight. And God, we know that from time to time, things and you promised in your word in Matthew 26 that the poor or those that with challenges in life will always be with us. And yet, God, we find that true in the world we live in. And so we thank you for a church body that has a generous heart and able to reach out and to help those in need. And God, we thank you that we can partake in the benevolent offering again tonight to be able to be a blessing to those in need. And so, God, thank you for the privilege to be able to give. Have your hand and bless now the gift and the giver tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to say a special thank you to those that supported the youth department today, Pastor Adam. And I think you said you had, what, 500 and how much? About $520 that came in on the spaghetti dinner today. And thank you for those that were able to participate in that. And that'll go towards the winter retreat. And so just pray for lots and lots of snow. Amen? Amen? You're dismissed. Good to see you in church.